Today on Real Radio.
See, the thing is, we don't care about false doctrine, so this is a harsh teaching that I'm giving you tonight. See, oh man, you know, he was really begging. Not if you consider the cost of what Jesus went through to save the world.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letters written by the Apostle John. Now, besides the Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation, the Apostle of Love, John himself, wrote three New Testament letters. We just wrapped up our series through 1 John, and over the next few editions of Real Radio, Pastor Jack will take us through the second and third of these epistles. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from the entirety of 2 John, by the way, a very concise and straight to the point letter. This is a lesson called We Want Faith, Hope, and Love.
Paul was saying to the churches, listen, all you guys, the moment I get out of here, it is that I'll never return. I'm leaving. You won't see me again. I know that when I leave, savage wolves will come in and attack the church. So he tells them to be on guard, be ready, be watchful. Hope results in anticipation. So what do you mean? Hope provided among the church implies that the church, the pastor, the staff are watching over your souls. We're here for you. Well, Jack, I called you up and you weren't here for me. I'm trying to be. There's more than one of you here. But there's staff to meet that need for you. Three times in Hebrews chapter 13, there the scriptures are given that there are those who watch out for your souls. Because in the end, we must give an account. Be hopeful by that. Be encouraged and be anticipating the work of God. He says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for. He's saying, don't let false teachers and these antichrist deceivers come in and rip off that which is so precious. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Thirdly, hope results in discernment. Verses 9 through 11. Whoever transgresses, you ought to circle that word. We'll come back to it in a minute. Pretty heavy word. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Well, how literal is that? Well, you better hang on to your hat if you got one. Listen to this. First of all, he who transgresses, or whoever transgresses, verse 9, the word prago is to add, to make additions, to run ahead of, or to go out of bounds of the word. To add to the word, to make additions to the word, to go out of bounds concerning the word or the truth, to run out of ahead of the truth. Dangerous, dangerous thing to do. False prophets add to scriptures and make up doctrines to what has already been given in the expressed word of God. Revelation 22:18 says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Now I had a certain person in a cult say, that just means the plagues in that book. Oh, then why worry? Excuse me, have you read the plagues of that book? He said, that doesn't apply to the remainder of Scripture. You hear what he's saying? You can add 65 books of the Bible, just not the 66th book of the Bible. So really? Well, how about Deuteronomy 4:2? That's a pretty early on book. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take anything from it, that if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I have commanded you to do, don't add to the book. Deuteronomy 12:32, Whatever I have commanded you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. False prophets, deceivers, the spirit of Antichrist, add to the book. I got in an argument at the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. with a national park ranger over this. It was an argument. He's given us this tour at the Jefferson Memorial. And he made some statement about Jefferson being a man that added many passages to the Bible. And he says you can go downstairs in the museum and see even his Bible, that he added things to the Bible. Well, they have his Bible down there, but it's in his margins he wrote footnotes. And, you know, Lord, caused this to be true in my life. So this knucklehead is saying, well, you know, and here's our great leader, and he's adding to the Bible. And the way it came across is you can add to the Bible too. That's what the guy's thing was. So come to find out, as we were talking to him, this guy was a New Age guy. And he had no idea about the beginnings of America and all this stuff. And I was appalled and just very, very disgusted with this guy. And he saw no problem. He made it as almost a statement. Yeah, you're supposed to add to the Bible, man. You just get, you know, just kind of continues on. Oh, no, it doesn't continue on. Well, yeah, but I had somebody at my door said it continues on. Well, I know you had somebody at your door, but it doesn't continue on. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 that God has spoken to us by his Son in these last days. He spoke first to the prophets, to the fathers, but in these last days by his Son. He's done speaking. You got the Bible. You got the book. It's all here. It tells you everything you need to know. You don't need anything else. Proverbs 30 verse 6 says, do not add to his word lest he rebuke you and you be found to be a liar. Yikes. Warren Wiersbe in his commentary warns of those in a day that are of, he says, the progressive movement. Listen, they have special revelations and new ideas and insights into church growth, staff development, the success seminars for the ministry in the 21st century. So what do you mean by that? Well, there are those who want to add to the work and to the word of God. There are those, and you get things in the mail, and you get phone calls, and you get these promotional things. We can have your church grow by 17% in 6 months if you'll send us $5,000 and bring us out, and we'll analyze what you're doing, and we'll turn your whole ministry around. And they have this thing about all of these things, these hypes, how to manage this, and how to develop that, and how to have them, and on it goes. And nothing's mentioned about prayer meetings. Nothing's mentioned about the Holy Spirit. Nothing's mentioned about dependent upon God. It's all human power, human might. Like the Holy Spirit has suddenly become the moldy spirit or something. That he's out of touch. That the Holy Spirit can't build the church of God. He needs all these new 21st century church growth guys. Why am I bringing them up? Because they'll add to the word that which is not there, the efforts of man. God says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And that's still true today. Zechariah 4:6. Jesus said in Mark 10:27, he looked at his disciples and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. When he says in verses 10 and 11, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive them into your house nor greet them. For he who greets them shares in his evil. This is serious. And we'll hurry through this part. Listen to this. Number one, he's warning us not to encourage anyone who is a representative or one who bears false doctrine. Do not encourage them in any way. This is a serious apostolic warning. Don't encourage those in false doctrine. Number two, to assist them in any way is to contribute to the attack of Christ. When he says, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, there are several reasons. And one of which, though they smile and be well-groomed or whatever the case might be, you must stop thinking of them in mere mortal terms. When someone comes bearing a false doctrine, literally, there are demonic powers around them. They are promoting doctrines, the scripture says, of demons. And the Bible, the great apostle says, don't even let them in your house. Why? Because you're rude? No. Because you're supposed to be some mean, ugly Christian? No. Did you realize that there are demonic demon powers around them? They couldn't be. They're so nice. Yeah, that's right. I forgot. The 11th commandment is, whoever is nice, regardless of the death of Christ, gets to go to heaven. No. Don't be fooled. How do you think Satan's going to come into your house? Boo! Oh, no, you'll shut the door. But, hi. Oh, boy, that's really disarming. Come on in. John says, don't. They're peddlers of false doctrine. Don't even bring them in. He says, don't even greet them. It's a heavy word. Listen, let me read to you on the children's version of the Living Bible. I love the way they put it. We need to obey the children's version of the Living Bible. If anyone comes to your house to teach you, and he doesn't believe what Christ taught his church, don't even invite him into your home. Don't even encourage him in any way. I'd love to see a little kid do that. Hi. Oh, I'm not going to encourage you. In fact, I'm not even inviting you into my house. Bye. Boom. Listen to what the NIV, the Nearly Inspired Version, puts it this way. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Listen to the King James. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, or God be with ye, that's Godspeed, or good, we shorten it to goodbye. Don't even say goodbye, or God be with ye. Don't say, God bless you, and your damnable doctrine that's taken millions to hell, God bless you. Don't do that. Say, well, Jack, I think you're being really mean. The Bible says don't bless them. You can say, you know what I'd love to say to you? I would love to say God bless you, but I can't because my Bible says in 2 John that I can't even do that to you because you're peddling doctrines of demons. I wish I could say that to you, but I can't do it. Don't even bid him Godspeed, it says in the scripture, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. Don't even give him a drink of water. But Jack is 110 degrees. Let his vocal cords dry up and blow away. He won't be able to preach the damnable doctrine. Oh, that's very mean. You know what? The Bible says to give a prophet of God a glass of water, but nowhere does it say to give a false prophet a glass of water. So you're being mean. You know what? Maybe I am. But when you hear a wife or a husband or somebody in the family say, hey, I'm checking out and I'm going to go be a whatsoever cultist, makes you sick because Satan wins. Another crown in his or gem in his crown, huh? Don't even give him a drink of water. Don't even give him air for their tires. It's not good. Dodd in his commentary says, to grant the enemies of Christ Christian hospitality is to offend Christ himself. To offer what is reserved for fellow Christians or for strangers passing by is to never be extended to those who promote false teachings, close quote. Wow. See, the thing is, we don't care about false doctrines, so this is a harsh teaching that I'm giving you tonight. See, oh man, you know, he was really begging. Not if you consider the cost of what Jesus went through to save the world. Then finally, and we'll be done before 10, verses 12 through 13, our final point, love must be personified in the church. Having many things to write to you, I love this. Listen, having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. I love this. Why? Because verse 12 teaches me that love desires to communicate. We must become personal one with another. It's amazing how things happen and people come together. Spirit of cooperation, just in the carnal sense. Yesterday, I was coming home and saw the hills on fire. Oh, look, Chino Hills is burning. Well, I happen to live there. As I'm heading home, it's getting thicker and darker, and there's engines going down the street, and then there's helicopters, and then those big planes come by dropping that stuff, and it's and then smell of smoke, you know, and then there's ash blowing, and then I turn down the street to get to my house, and it's all blocked. And I say, excuse me, I live up there. I live right there. The officer says, I don't care, park your car and walk. But the cool thing was, you could see people helping each other out, people breaking out water hoses and just making sure that shrubs and trees, because that stuff's, you know, it's been so hot and dry, things can explode. So that late last night on the news, you heard the report that one of the Department of Forestry fire guys said, you know, this thing could have been a lot worse, but these people really pulled together. And prior to the fire ever beginning, they had their areas trimmed, you know, cut back and safe. And this was easy. To do that, they had to communicate to each other. They had to relate to one another. And a blessing came. The second thing, verse 12, love desires fellowship. Not only love desires to communicate, but it desires fellowship. He says, I did not wish to write to you with paper and with ink. I don't want to do that. But I want to come to you face to face. Are you ready for this? The word face to face is the best way that we can put it in English. It's stoma to stoma, or in Greek, mouth to mouth. See, as soon as you hear mouth to mouth, you think of resuscitation. And that's kind of cool. I don't want to write you. I love that. I don't want to write you a letter. I want to come, and I want to get just eye to eye, nose to nose, mouth to mouth, for us guys, belly to belly, and be just down home with you. The love that this apostle has. Why? Because love desires to bless. And I love the fact that God is love. Amen? He wants to bless us. God's desire is to bless us. And so it says that our joy may be full. I want to leave you with this thought. In my devotional reading in Genesis at this time, I saw something that I've personally never seen before, and it just cracked me up. God reveals himself to Abraham. And God says, Abraham, hi, I'm God, and I want to bless you. And Abraham wants to talk about other things. And God says, see the stars? I'm going to make your descendants like the stars above your head. Then God shows up on the scene again and says, hi, Abraham. And Abraham wants to talk to God. And God says, see the sands of the sea? I'm going to make your descendants like the sands of the sea. You won't be able to count them. Third time. Scripture says, and God spoke to Abraham. He says, Abraham, go out there and look. Every time God spoke to Abraham, God, it's like he was running out of his room, his throne, with a new toy for Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to bless you, man. Are you ready? Can you believe it? Hey, count the sands of the sea. You better get ready. It's going to be more than that. Look up there, Abraham. And I imagine in Abraham's day, there was few light bulbs around, you know. When that sky went dark, it must have been awesome. He says, look at the stars. I'm going to bless you more than that. Love wants to bless. God wants to bless you. What we want is faith, hope, and love. Without it, we won't succeed and we won't thrive and we won't be a church. And God forbid there are too many churches without faith, Too many churches without hope. Too many churches without love.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from the brief one-chapter letter we know as 2 John. The title of this lesson, We Want Faith, Hope, and Love. It's a study of how these three elements, together with God's truth, are inseparable. We want faith, hope, and love. Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this second of three New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. There's more to come, so we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, it is Friday, which means that whenever we can, we have our feature here on Real Radio called Ask Pastor Jack. Now, Ask Pastor Jack is a way of getting an answer to your Bible-related questions. You might just hear that question right here, along with the answer, on Real Radio. Send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org, and we might just pull yours out of the hat and see what Pastor Jack has to say about it right here on Real Radio. So, if yours hasn't been answered yet, well, keep trying. Now, today we bring you Ask Pastor Jack, but we'll be doing something a bit different. Every now and again, after one of his Bible studies, Pastor Jack fields texted questions from the pulpit. Here's one regarding whether or not to use books other than the Bible when trying to gain a more accurate view and understanding of Scripture.
Is studying commentaries, etc., okay, or should we strictly use the Bible? First of all, this is great, okay? It's great. Personally, remember the shadow? I mean, the shade and the down to the tree. When I have my private time personally, God and I, the way that we love each other personally, I don't have any books when I'm with Him to start. I have nothing. I have nothing. I personally sit in the absolute darkness alone with Him like that. That's what I call my devotional life. There's nothing there but Him and I. I like the virginness of that, personally. I'll get on my knees, I'll get on my face, I'll stand up. For me, you guys, you have to understand something. I'm a pastor and I'm a student of the Bible. So my studying with the commentary time, I'm at work. At that. That's hard work for me. This is what I do 25 hours a week. So to me, that's farming. It's not eating the food. Commentary reading, that is farming. It's not eating the food. When I'm alone with the Lord, it's more eating the food, right? So I want to encourage you, if that's what you're doing, go ahead and do it. But can I encourage you to try to nurture the next year? And I know this is really hard. It's so hard. It's the most difficult thing, I think, for me personally. And it's to sit alone with God. It's not that He's not a great host. It's I have to really work hard at calming my body down. Even though I've just gotten out of bed, I start thinking about, what are the stars doing out there right now? My mind goes nuts. I'm borderline insane. And so it's really quiet time for me. It starts out really hard. I have to discipline my body to sit still. So it's not going to be easy, but man, is it rewarding. Regarding the Bible, when I want to hear something from God, when I want God to speak to me in my quiet time, or I should say in a different type of my devotional time, when I'm looking for what God wants to say to me, I will have my Bible open. I'll have a blank piece of paper. But I'm asking God, Lord, speak to me. And sometimes He speaks from the Word, but I'm reading it. Sometimes He speaks it in my head, and it's confirmed in the Word. And when that happens, wild horses can't stop me from what He told me to do. Because I know He said it. It's fun. It's great.
Good stuff. That's Pastor Jack from the pulpit on whether or not to consult Bible commentaries as a way of studying God's Word. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.